Hello, this is Winifred Lewis, and I'm interviewing
Eleanor Wertheim.
Yeah.
And I'm from La Trobe University in Melbourne, Australia.
Great. And how did you get into peace psychology?
It's sort of a growing thing that's happened over the years, and I think back on it, I think I had dabbled in it for many years. But I think the most important part of it was when I first moved to Australia, I worked with some colleagues who were interested in peace psychology. One of them was named Connie Peck, and she invited me to come to a new group that was forming, Psychologists for Peace. And honestly, I think the first one or two times I was invited to come to these meetings, I kind of got busy and didn't do it. And then I eventually got to a meeting and realized what people were doing was very exciting. And I got more and more involved, and people started inviting me to do more things. And as I got invited, I said yes. And I think one of the important things was I said yes to things.
Yeah.
And so that got me more involved originally. Originally, it was an anti-nuclear group, but over time we've changed to have it just partly it was that, and that was the main aim. But over time, and even in the beginning, it was always going to be about peace more generally and reducing conflict. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Neat. And is it something that's been part of your professional life? Like, do you get paid to do peace psychology, or is it something you squeeze in around the margins?
Over time, I've gotten more of my actual time at the university doing it. I'm a clinical psychologist, and much of the research I did initially was on body image and eating disorders, and that's the research I did, and I taught cognitive behavior therapy and counseling and so on. But over time, I've started to try and integrate it more into what I do. I started teaching negotiation skills in an interdisciplinary course, and I've actually brought that into peace psychology. There was a new community psychology unit, and I said yes. I held my hand up and I said I'll do some peace psychology, and I'm doing more research in peace psychology now. So it's over time I've thought that's what's interesting me more, and so I'm going to sort of shed some of the other things and do more of that.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about that. I mean, thinking of an undergrad audience that wouldn't know your work at all, how would you briefly describe the peace psych work that you're doing now?
I actually want to start with what I started with. Initially, our group got interested in developing workshops on how to resolve conflicts peacefully. It was from the Harvard negotiation model and the idea of cooperative problem solving and principled negotiation. So we started developing workshops for other psychologists, and then over time I've developed that with colleagues. And so we started doing it for a whole wide range of other sort of professionals. I ended up doing it in schools, and so some of the work that I'm doing now is in primary or elementary schools, where we're looking at how to develop cooperative processes for handling conflict in schools. Connie Peck, who I mentioned earlier, ended up going to the UN as a special consultant for the foreign minister for here in Australia.
Neat.
And she was at the UN, and she did a project there for a year and a half about how to boost the preventive diplomacy functions in the UN and the peacemaking functions. And out of that came a fellowship program for UN staff and diplomats. So I've actually been helping with that for about 15 years.
Neat.
So I help with some of those peacemaking and preventive diplomacy programs. So it's sort of, I'm doing a lot of different things, and I teach about that in my undergraduate classes, and I teach about negotiation and conflict skills and models of resolving conflict. So it's fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Makes me wish I was an undergrad at La Trobe. I mean, that stuff just isn't covered at UQ, nor is it covered at U of T, where I did my training. And so we've talked about a little bit about your research and teaching. Are you involved as well in what you might call activism or community work, or is that primarily through your teaching research?
I think I'm not as activist as some people are. I am a member of Psychologists for Peace, and one of the things we do is activism and we do advocacy.
Yeah.
So over time, depending on what has come up, I have done things during the Gulf War. We developed, information kits for people so that they knew what was going on, and tried to have people be a little bit more reticent about going off to war when other sorts of war sort of issues come up. I've gone to peace rallies, or I have sometimes spoken on the radio about peace issues and things like that.
Yeah.
So I do like to try to get the message out. I think it's something that some of my colleagues, I admire them because I think they're doing more of it.
Yeah. Well, I guess part of that question is how you find time and resources to do all those things. I mean, how would you say you find the time and resources to do piece like teaching and research? How does that happen?
The time, well, I've just built it into my work.
Mm. I have making built it a priority.
I made it a priority, and I've negotiated with my university, my school, and said, you know, when I go to the UN programs, I want to take it as business leave, and so they're happy to support that because they see it as something that's
super prestigious, I imagine.
It's super prestigious, so it's part of being prestigious, and I can say, look, you know, I'm going out and doing this. It's a UN program, and I'm working with diplomats and ambassadors and things like that. So how to make time? I just do what I can. I guess I also like to work with people who are committed to what they're doing, and that's partly making the time, but it also gives you the energy and motivation. Yeah. So over the years, I have found people that have similar kind of work ethic to me or similar kind of motivations, and so when I find people that I really work well with, I stay working with them.
Yeah.
And so we kind of help each other have the energy, and I know that if I email even at 9 o'clock at night and I'm on my computer and I'm sort of working on a paper or whatever, or working on either the school project, some of my colleagues may be online as well.
And yeah.
As soon as it goes out there, we'll get some sort of feedback back. So it gives each other energy and the time I have varied over the years. Sometimes for a while I was actually part-time. I didn't work full-time because I thought I want to have a work-life balance and I want to have time to do the things I want to do. And so I have varied it a bit in terms of how much I'm actually at the university. But now I'm back to full-time.
Yeah. Well, mad workaholism and high energy obviously would be among your answers. But what kinds of personal qualities and professional skills have been most valuable to you in this work?
Personal qualities and what was the other one?
Professional skills.
And professional skills. Well, let me start with professional skills. I'm trained as a clinical psychologist, and I think that as a clinical psychologist, you develop a lot of skills to just look at how people change. If you want to promote change in the world, how to do it. You know how to do research. You know how to help people develop models and then try to apply them and try to evaluate whether they're working. And so I think that my clinical psychology skills are very applicable. And even when I do work at the UN, I go in there and I tell people, look, I have process knowledge, and that's the skills that I'm bringing to that process, not international relations necessarily knowledge. I've had to learn all that and learn about political structures and political processes in order to be able to work there. But the fundamental skills really come from my clinical psychology background, and I thought they were really transferable.
That's a really empowering message, I think, for our students.
It is. Yeah. I think it is, because you can actually go out there and you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I like to, just for students, and the messages I like to give to students sometimes, is that I never in a million years thought I would be working at the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Never in a million years. When I first graduated from the university, I didn't. But what happened is I had a number of different opportunities that came up, and it was through networking, it was through knowing people, finding out about the opportunities, and then I said yes to them, even though initially the idea of going to the UN, working with UN staff, seemed very daunting to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, what am I? I don't know about political affairs. But I said yes. And so one of the qualities has been I've been willing to say yes about things. And even though I might have been anxious about it at the time, or even ambivalent sometimes, and the other thing is finding role models. So there were some wonderful role models that I had. So the messages are find role models, network, and say yes.
Yeah, great. Those are great messages, yeah. When you think of your research and how it's been applied, I mean, are there ways where you can see that your own research and teaching are making a difference in the real world? I guess that's an easy one for you because you're working in the UN. But
well, there's different levels of the real world.
Yeah.
And I always think that I may not be able to make a huge difference in the world necessarily, but I think that the group of us can, number one. So the group of us that are interested in the piece, each one does our little bit. And the other thing I think about a lot is if I can have one person influenced who then goes on and does something big, then I have had an influence via them.
Yeah.
So I don't have to be the one that directly does it as long as I know that I'm putting out all those ideas, I'm putting out all those skills. But having said that, I think I have made a difference. For example, I've taught negotiation skills, and one of the things I've done is I've asked people to take the ideas and put them in practice in the real world in any way they choose. And we work through coming up with a problem they're having or a conflict, and then they will go out and they will analyze the conflict and really think about it and map it, and then they will plan strategy, and then they will role play, and then they'll go out and they'll do it in the real world. So I know, because I have people write reports about all the things that they're doing.
Yeah.
So that's very rewarding for me, because in my work I've built in ways of getting feedback about the difference that I'm making through the way I assess it.
Yeah.
And so that keeps me motivated, and it also makes me know that, yeah, I've had people change in their relationships, in their workplaces. And then, of course, in the UN, the work that I do, obviously, we're hoping that it's making a difference.
Yeah.
And we look at the stats on the world basis to see that. We've trained most of the people in the Department of Political Affairs at the UN, and before we did this program, there was no training in preventive diplomacy or peacemaking at the UN. So just knowing that, I just have, you know, faith that people are going out and using it, and they're describing it. It's a very well-known program now in the UN, and people like it, and they want to all do it. Well, not everybody, but it's very sought after that people come and attend the program. So that's good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And making a difference in the world in the primary schools. We take data, and we have interviews, and so we keep track. And I guess that's one of the advantages of evaluation.
Yeah.
And I'm becoming more and more keen about not just quantitative evaluation, but qualitative, because you really hear the stories.
Yeah.
And you really know what's happening, as opposed to just getting a bunch of numbers, which are important too.
Yeah.
But
and you communicate to different audiences, don't you? I mean, there's a real power in stories that goes far beyond empirical research audiences. And you can really talk to other schools and funders and
absolutely.
The media,
yeah.
You know, those stories are powerful.
The stories are very powerful.
Great. Well, I think we've covered a lot of these. Is there some way, you've talked a little about this, that doing this kind of work has changed you as a person and a psychologist as you've been going along this journey?
I think that as I've gone along the journey, how has it changed me? I think I have a better idea about the fact that we can make a big difference in the world and think bigger. And I've really, because I've talked to people from, I've networked and I've talked to people from around the world, and I've talked to people that are at the United Nations level, that I see what a global community we all are, and I see how interconnected we are. And so I think that's an important part of what I've learned, or how I've changed, is really understanding that we're all part of it as a world. And I think that that's how the whole world is changing in some ways. I think we're getting very much more interconnected, and that can be bad in terms of, you know, capitalist society and some of the negative effects of that, but it can be really good in the sense that we're all working at it together as a world.
Yeah. That seems like a fabulous end point, but is there anything else you wanted to say before we hit the off switch? With the thudding cleaners in the background, the road to peace is fraught with many obstacles.
Anything else I want to say? I think one of the messages I like to get across is, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything particularly amazing about me. It was that I managed to, you know, work with the UN, at the UN, and with people at a global level. That we can do it, and it's just a matter of saying yes to things when they seem like they're important. And somebody also once said to me, really think about, am I making a difference in what I do? And if you're not making a difference, then maybe don't do it.
Yeah, that's a great message as well. Thanks so much, Eleanor.
Sure.